Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 307. We're recording this on Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023. I'm Tim. Joining me tonight, hi, John.
Hi, Tim. I'm glad you got the number right.
Yeah. Well, you know, counting, math.
Some confusion on numbering.
Yeah. We got the show number right. It's all good. Yeah. Speaking of which, I guess folks are going to get a bonus this week. You guys ended up recording a little late last week.
Yes.
And I didn't realize it. And so we're kind of recording with this show now. They're both going to get released probably like the same day. 306 and 307. So bonus that.
Yeah. And bonus because. I completely missed messages from Sheba last week on when she could record. And it was like the next morning and I was like, oh crap.
Oops. Yeah. Those things happen. Yeah. Those things happen.
Yeah. Which then folks will enjoy because we specifically say in 306, Tim's going to be mad because we recorded late and took all the news.
And amazingly, we actually do have news for this show.
And that's the funny thing is we still do have news, but I was like, oh man, we've got like a 3-day turnaround.
Yeah, it's not bad. Let's see. Please, folks, remember that we are part of the Ram Chatter Network. Check us out at ramchatter.com for information on all of our shows, membership through Patreon, access to the Escape Hatch Discord server, and show merchandise from TeePublic. I don't think we have any particular announcements, except our continuous plea to leave us reviews. We like reviews. Reviews have been very good to us. We've had some very generous reviewers lately. And we like reviews.
So I want to say it was a week after you read The Last Batch.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter starts texting screenshots of the reviews. Again, folks, my kids look at them. They love them. And it became part of the family chat as they were taking the screen caps of them.
That's awesome.
And then digesting them. And they're like, and finally I'm like, yeah, I mean, we already talked about this on the podcast. Like, you didn't tell us. And I was like, it's not as much fun to tell you if I already know about them. It's fun for you guys to discover them.
Yeah.
But just folks, so you know, not only do we talk about them during the podcast, they become part of the Stewart family text stream.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. And we talk about you by name based on the review name. So just so you know, it is also there that we do discuss it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It is a fun pastime for the kids to read reviews of their dad's show.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we encourage more at the very least for the entertainment of John's kids.
Oh, 100%. It is good family entertainment for us. And just know that if you leave a review, you will be talked about on many formats.
That's awesome. All right, folks. On to our news. Let's see. So the first thing we have here, and I didn't even I put a note in the show notes for it, but I didn't put any bullet points because there's like big chunks of this thing to be read. So where this comes from, and I got to give credit to Collider for this, because this is where I'm pulling like all of this stuff from for it. So this is coming from the author of a new book, MCU, The Reign of Marvel Studios. The author is Joanna Robinson. And she worked for Vanity Fair, senior writer for Vanity Fair. Folks know that we kind of cite Vanity Fair as being one of those news outlets that clearly has a corporate official in with Marvel Studios, and they get news. They get legit news. So if they report something, it's very, very reliable, pretty much almost as much as it would be if it came from Disney or Marvel Studios itself. So she has a long history of writing exclusive Marvel pieces for the magazine. And the big topic that she had on a podcast was talking about how Jonathan Majors actually changed the MCU, or at least the path ahead for the MCU. So her quote from this was, "I was told by someone who works for Marvel, it was not the plan to make Kang the center of everything until they saw the dailies from Quantumania and after his performance in Loki, which was so strong. They said, hey, this is it. This is our way forward. We've lost our varsity hero team, but let's get up around this guy, Kang, and this performer that so many people are reacting to. We know this is a huge problem for them that they're facing and grappling with right now. It's unprecedented for Marvel. And she said she would argue with never having hung so much of a franchise on one actor as they tried to hang it on Jonathan Majors. So that's kind of obviously where we're at now. We've mm-hmm. talked about the whole Jonathan Majors thing. She says, I would argue more that Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man, more than Josh Brolin is Thanos, that hanging everything on this guy is then going to pop up in all their properties leading up to something called Kang, called the Kang Dynasty. This has obviously put him in a really unusual position. They don't usually hang this much on one person the way that they did here, and that's put him in a bind, given Jonathan Majors' legal issues. She says, we don't know what they're going to do. I hear conflicting stories that they're going to replace him, or that they're not even considering replacing him, et cetera, et cetera. But it obviously is a big thing, which we've talked about here. Yeah. You know, we don't know what the fate of Jonathan Majors holds. You know, that's in the hands of the courts. And, you know, I think that that's really going to be the deciding factor in this. If he is found innocent or they dismiss the case or whatever, there's obviously a good chance that Marvel's going to keep him. If he's found guilty, I think to any extent in this, Marvel's going to, you know, he's going to be gone. The sad thing is that, you know, this may delay things if they're waiting on him, because criminal court cases can take a while. So
the writer's strike may help them.
Yeah. That's actually a solid point. The delay from the writer's strike may actually be working in their benefit in this thing. It allows them to not have to have their finger on the pause button, at least for this reason.
And Sheba and I talked about it a bit, still technically last week, because it was Saturday. And the fact of rumors that they may have already recast him and we haven't seen it yet. I give Marvel credit from learning from their James Gunn situation, where we saw them fire James Gunn relatively quickly for the tweets that didn't age well, only to bring him back. And so, again, we've talked about it. Due credit for them not trying Jonathan Majors in the court of public opinion with it. And I will say, I have really enjoyed him in everything that I've seen him in, Marvel and outside of Marvel. I hope that these are all unfounded, because I really enjoy him as an actor. Yeah. If it is true, hey, we've seen redemption arcs with actors, Robert Downey Jr., Mel Gibson, others. So this may not be the end of his career. It's certainly not a good look for him. So we'll see what happens. But I mean, it very much is, I want to say, a little bit different. We didn't know Brolin was the guy for the earlier phases, but eventually he was the guy.
There was a slower reveal for them. They had a really interesting build up to that. That in a lot of cases, and I think it worked exceptionally well. But I think that's something they would try to pull again. It wouldn't, which is why I think this whole Kang thing works. That Kang is a presence, a more palpable presence.
Yeah. I mean, so we will obviously wait and see what happens. If they do end up recasting, I don't think it's going to be too detrimental. I mean, again, I think folks accept recasts. I think this is public enough. Folks will understand why they had to recast. It'll maybe take away a little bit. But again, I think folks will understand and they'll just, the machine will keep moving.
Yeah. I think it'll work. And, you know, I mean, even to my earlier statement that, you know, if he's found innocent versus if he's found guilty, it may also end up being enough time where Marvel Studios just says, hey, you know what? We've kind of waited long enough. We've sat on this for a while.
Yeah.
We just need to move forward. And so we pick somebody else. You know, if the outcome goes your way, sorry. But you know, it's business. Yeah. So.
Yeah. No. And again, will there, honestly, regardless of what Marvel does, and I will take the 50-50 split as the easy way out, but 50% of people will be mad if they recast them. 50% of people will be mad if they don't recast them. I mean, it will, regardless of the outcome, there will be people on both sides of the fence. So Marvel's just got to make a decision, recognizing they will not make everyone happy.
Now, something that could be very cool is if they actually worked with it, they end up recasting him. Maybe they recast him prematurely. They don't wait for a court outcome from this.
Theoretically in Loki.
Yeah.
Which we've heard. Yeah.
And then, you know, if hopefully Jonathan Majors is found innocent in this, or they dismiss the case or whatever, then sometime in the future, like in Kang Dynasty, or maybe even earlier, they run both versions.
Oh, yeah.
Because they could, I mean, Kang is a time traveler. He has encountered himself in the comics. And obviously from the post-credit scene that we got from Quantumania, we know that they encounter each other. And some of them look a little bit different. So like,
well,
this would not be outrageous for them to have two Kang actors coming up in the same show.
And as we saw from Spider-Man, we saw three Peter Parkers.
Yeah.
None of whom look like one another.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, I thought about that too, where they could bring him back if need be to, and even saying like, hey, we did this in Loki because we got to move forward. If you're found innocent, you're back. Nothing's changing. We're good to go. If you're found guilty, hey, this is business.
Yeah.
It's business.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of possibilities for this. I think it, again, hoping that things come out in his favor.
Okay.
If in fact he did not do it, then let's see. By now, folks have probably heard Disney Plus is officially going to be merging with Hulu by the end of the year. Disney has been a part owner of Hulu for many, many years. Them buying out Fox made that even larger. And they have basically had an agreement with Comcast, who's the only other owner at this point of Hulu, that basically Disney was reserving the rights to buy out Hulu from them. And so they announced a couple weeks ago that, yes, in fact, we're going to do this. We're going to buy out Hulu. So they are, now that they own the whole thing, they are, and apparently like Netflix is kind of going through this too. Not that Netflix is involved in a merger, but they're saying that, you know, this is going to, by purging shows, movies, specials, et cetera, that this is a cost savings measure. I don't know if this comes down to server space. I don't know about that. Or if it's like paying to continue the rights to distribute certain things.
I think it's more that.
Which is odd, though, because like some of the stuff that's getting shed off of Disney Plus, and so like this week, they're shedding things from Disney Plus and Hulu. There were a couple of rumors of MCU related things going, but those were debunked. But the stuff that Disney Plus has on Disney Plus, like, they own.
Yeah.
Most of it, at least. So
I think we're going to see more of these mergers. You've heard more and more of these kind of consolidations.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I read this and the first thing I thought was, is my monthly rate going to go down? Because I got a package. And then I was like, of course it's not. That's silly.
So here's what is, what has been announced to happen is that Hulu and Disney Plus will fully be merging into one app, which I assume, at least here in the U.S., will probably remain being branded as Disney Plus.
I assumed it was going to be Hulu because there's more than Disney ABC products on Hulu.
True. But I think Disney Plus maybe has better brand recognition, even though Hulu's been around for a long time. I don't know.
Maybe. I assumed it was going to be the opposite because most of what we watch on Hulu is not Disney properties.
Right. Oh, interesting. No, good thought there. So they have announced that they are going to combine these things into one app.
Yeah.
And again, we're talking U.S. market. Distribution in other markets around the world are crazy. So
I got it. It's going to be Hulu Ni Plus.
No one wants that. No one wants that.
Disney Lu Plus?
Maybe. Do they own rights to Dr. Seuss? Who owns those rights?
That's a good freaking question. I have no idea.
Disney Lu who?
Disney Lu who? Plus. You got to keep the plus somewhere.
Yeah.
But I do like Disney Lu who. It's a mouthful. But
oh yeah. Now the assumption is that the cost for subscribing to the one app will actually increase. Now that said, those of us who have some version of a bundle, I happen to have the full one with Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus.
Which shows ESPN Plus never shows any sports I want to see. I it's one of those where I'm like, I've got it shows nothing. I don't care. Yeah.
It's I get it for German football.
Okay.
So soccer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that those of us who have a bundle, it will probably end up costing us a little less because it's consolidated. So I think it'll end up being somewhere in the middle. For people who just subscribe to Disney Plus or just to Hulu, the cost will go up. For those of us who have a bundle, I think the cost may actually go down a touch.
I think you're optimistic. I don't think the bundle goes down at all.
Yeah. Okay.
And again.
And you could be right. You could be right.
It is one of those. We have so many people on that package that share our password that every time I get billed and realize I don't really use it, I'm like, I would piss off so many
people. There's so many people that do. Yeah.
Yeah. That like the account gets hacked and I've got to change the password. The number of people that text me, did you change the password to Hulu or Disney Plus? And I'm like, yes, because for whatever reason we got hacked. I didn't even know you were on this.
Yeah. The only people who we actually have on our accounts are legitimately people who did used to live with us. My stepson and my niece, who have both since moved out, do have access to all of our streaming stuff.
Ours are friends that are family and yeah. In-laws. And again, the only reason why we do it is because Disney Plus screwed us over the very first year it came out. So we are like, you know what? Whoever wants it. Hakuna Matata. As they told my wife, Hakuna Matata.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Let's see. We've mentioned Loki. So speaking of Loki, season 2 has an official premiere date. That is Friday, October 6th.
You've got the name wrong.
The name of what?
It's Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yes. Yes. You're right. I had it labeled in here as Columbus Day, which is still the official name of the holiday, but yeah. Screw Christopher Columbus.
Which also is weirdly, my kids don't have off school that weekend. We discovered.
Yeah. So it's premiering on Friday, October 6th. And so they did this, I think, with the last season of Mandalorian, that I think they even though their usual streaming day for Star Wars and Marvel releases is Wednesday, I believe they shifted that to a Friday release because it was attached to a long weekend. So they figure they're getting more viewership. So it's going to start on Friday, October 6th, and then it's going to revert to Wednesdays after that.
So, and Cheeb and I talked about the last episode, a rumor that they were going to release them all at one time.
Yeah.
Similar to how Netflix does. And with your kind of note that they'll be reverting again, we kind of talked about, I saw the pros and cons of dumping them all at once versus the episodic release. I was in favor of the episodic, Tim. I don't know where you stand.
Oh, I'm totally in favor of episodic. I like the build of anticipation. I think that from a marketing perspective for them, I think it keeps the discussion going on out there in society longer, because of that build. So yeah, I like it. Plus it gives time for, you know, like podcasters to talk about
Sheem and I didn't even talk about that. I hate to break it to you, but if they dump them all at one time, we're still doing them week by week.
Yeah.
I ain't got time to binge a whole thing.
Well, and I mean, we've also on the network, we've done things when they ran. It was Movie Chatter, and then it went to Media Chatter that Lou, Eric, and my wife Robin did. They would sometimes do things on an episodic basis like that. So, and Robin's done it on some other shows too. So that whole kind of concept, I think it just makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense to be able to kind of talk things through. Echo also has a premiere date. Is going to be Wednesday, November 29th. That's going to be running. Let's see. Daredevil Born Again has significantly slowed or stopped production because of the writer strike, I've heard. And Agatha Coven of Chaos, or I'm sorry, Ironheart, rather. Mm-hmm. No. Agatha Coven of Chaos. That's yes. Yeah. Agatha Coven of Chaos has been pushed. It was earlier listed as like a 23-24 winter release. It is solidly being pushed into 2024. Daredevil Born Again is still slated for spring of 24. Maybe this is going to get delayed. We don't know. But yeah, so they firmly kind of nudged Coven of Chaos into 2024, which I think is fine. You know, we're going to have Loki season 2, Echo, and then also X-Men 97 coming out by the end of this year. So good stuff. Did you see, John, the new trailer for Secret Invasion?
I did. I want to say it's one of the few times with a trailer, especially from Marvel, that it did not get me more excited. I was like,
really?
The first one did. This one, I was like, eh.
Oh, see, I thought this one was super exciting.
Okay.
It was darker. I liked it. And we got to see characters. There is one weird moment in it, like in the second half of it, where it's like, this is boring footage. Why did you put this in here? But the rest of it I thought was really good. I liked it.
This one, I will say it looks and feels different.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to enjoy it, but I watched the trailer and weirdly I was like, I'm going to go back and watch the first one because I really like that one.
And this is officially the Trust No One trailer.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, basically the main tagline. Where are we? We're going toward the end of May. Secret Invasion premieres June 21. So I would, there's definitely one more trailer.
Oh yeah.
That we're going to get for it like the week before.
Yep.
So this, yeah. Yeah. I don't think two, there's one. They also put out new, series posters, which I thought were mm-hmm. pretty cool. I like those. So you can find those all over Marvel's social media stuff.
Which I do appreciate Marvel slightly altering. I think they have a great record of they release a new show and the first episode and the last episode is when I'm on vacation.
Oh.
This time the first episode is right before. It is literally the week in between my summer vacations. That's nice. And I'll have to forecast out when the last episode is, but I think it'll be okay. But I was looking at it and I was like, the 21st, I was like, actually, that's the one kind of weekend in June. I'm in town. So Sheep and I can do a review of it.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I have so much travel. As folks can tell, since I've been absent from shows,
I
on and off here and
looking at June into July. I don't know. We'll have to talk about that offline, Tim, your travel schedule, but I was looking at mine and I'm like, it's not pretty between vacation and work. I'm like,
this is
getting rough.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you know, during summer and I think even last summer we did this where we were skipping weeks and we have been here skipping weeks, for the last like month or so. Once in a while. And so one, hopefully no one minds that. Yeah. And I think everyone understands. We also, we're kind of in a little bit of a news lull too. I mean, obviously, if something is big, we're going to get it out there. And I've certainly, if folks have been listening for a while, you know that like sometimes we'll do like super short, like news blitzes with like one host kind of thing. And even if I'm on the road, I could manage to do that stuff. But obviously, of course, we also have Sheba. So if she's still rooted at home, she may be able to grab Eric or somebody else to do a show. So, we will definitely continue making this stuff happen that we need to.
Just a peek behind the curtain of how many times we're like, hey, one of us is out. And inevitably, it's either Tim or I are like, we're traveling for work this week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the advantage is Sam doesn't have sports again until August. So at least I'm not competing with sports.
That's good. That's a bit of a break. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. That's also a factor that factors in where as we look for dates, it's like, one of us is traveling and then I'm like, well, Sam's got a game and Sheba's like, I also have a life. Can I have, which is why Sheba has a life, which is why she's not joining us tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so she's like, so it becomes that complicated, master scheduling.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Deadline revealed, remember this rumor that Sacha Baron Cohen might be cast in the MCU. This is kind of milling around a couple years ago.
Yeah. I don't care.
Deadline revealed that he is in fact joining the MCU and that he will in fact be in Ironheart. Now we know that Ironheart, and I can't remember the name of the villain, but we know that Ironheart's villain is supposed to be something like a little on the mythical side.
Yeah. It's supposed to magic and science.
Yeah. Yeah. So the rumor from a few years ago was that Sacha Baron Cohen was going to be cast as Mephisto. Now it's not confirmed this time, but it is confirmed that we do have Sacha Baron Cohen. So now of course the Mephisto rumors have come back out. Is this why you're shaking your head, John? Yes. That you're just pretty much like, hey, I'm Mephisto'd out.
I actually don't like Sacha Baron Cohen.
I don't either.
So,
but I've only seen him in like stupid roles too.
Yeah, I've only seen him in like the Borat stuff. So that's also why I'm shaking my head. Where I'm like, I don't care about this at all. Whether or not he is Mephisto, I want to trust that Marvel will. It's a good casting, but I'm like, I don't care. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he has the look.
He
has the tall, lanky thing of Mephisto. He has kind of the angular, right face shape for it. Yeah, and the facial hair that he's had and things. He definitely has a look for it. So I can understand the fan cast. But also maybe it never was a fan cast. Maybe this was something that had actually been in discussion or speculated internally speculated, at least in terms of Marvel Studios. And so it kind of got out there and, you know, the fandom ran with it. So
yeah, maybe.
I'm hopeful for it. I think Sacha Baron Cohen also, and again, similar to you, I'm not a fan of his work, but he also has this, I mean, he commits to character acting and he has a quirkiness to him that I think would come through really well with Mephisto, because Mephisto isn't just, you're looking at the character in the comics, not just the straight up serious evil dude. He has this, there's a little bit of a sarcasm in there, this kind of biting stuff, like, you know, certainly dark humor. And I think Sacha Baron Cohen could pull it off.
I don't disagree. But part of it is I don't care a lot. It's going to sound like a jerk. I don't really care a lot about what he does because I don't really care for him as an actor.
Sure.
I will say if it is Mephisto, I agree with you. I think that's a great casting. But then as soon as that comes up, I'm like, I'm Mephisto'd out. I'm so done with the rumors of Mephisto being behind and involved in everything. And to a degree, then there's part of me who's like, genius Marvel, get us so tired of it that when you introduce Mephisto, we're all going to be like, what? Mephisto is here? Like, there's a level of genius to it as well. So it's fine. At the end of the day, I'm really looking forward to Ironheart. So regardless, I'm going to be excited because I really want to see what they do with that series.
Yeah, me too. And I like how they are combining the science and magic thing. Yeah. I think that's super cool with that.
I think it's going to be very good.
Yeah. Let's see. Chiwetel Edge.
Before you read this, Tim, can I read the note that you put in here?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Chiwetel Ejiofor, who I'm going to guess I said that wrong, folks, but you know I can't say names. But better known as Mordo from Doctor Strange. And then in Tim's notes, cast in Venom 3, Chiwetel Ejiofor. So Tim, can you tell me what Chiwetel Ejiofor is?
That is my own pronunciation guide for his name, because it's obviously a bit challenging.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So you typed that in
the middle of the show and I was like,
yes,
what the hell is that?
yeah. I wanted to make sure that I kind of had it smooth as I was pronouncing it.
Okay, because Sheba is our go-to for pronunciation of names, so that's fine. And that makes so much sense. But it's been sitting there. I'm like, what is that?
Okay. I dropped my mouse on my keyboard and a bunch of letters came out. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
So Chiwetel Ejiofor has been cast in Venom 3. As John mentioned, this is the actor who plays Baron Mordo from both of the Doctor Strange movies. Now, considering that Venom is a Marvel-related property, It still flies under the full Marvel banner, even though it's not necessarily Marvel Studios. But also from the end of the post-credit scene for Venom 2, and what has been put out there, that basically Venom will be intersecting at least within the Spider-Verse. And I'm not speaking of the animated. I'm speaking of the live action from between Sony and Marvel Studios. I don't think it's going to be a different character. I mean, unless he's a mass character, I think he's going to appear as Mordo.
One can only assume. They don't, and Sheba and I talked about this when we were recasting Jonathan Majors, and how I would have loved for it to have been Michael B. Jordan. And part of that was based on Creed, and I think he would do phenomenal as a Kang-type character. But they're not going to do it because he is such a recognizable character already in the MCU.
Yeah.
Killmonger cannot be a Kang variant. No one would buy that.
Yeah.
Similar, I don't think anyone would buy Mordo being a different character. So it has to be.
Yeah. Yeah. With the connections that Venom is now going to be making into the MCU, I don't think that they can use.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, there is a small history of Marvel Studios using the same actor in a couple of different roles.
Yeah.
But it's super minor. Usually one of them has like a prosthetic or makeup or a mask or something like that. With this, I just don't see. I mean, he's already he's not an A-list character in this, but he is a significant. Yeah. He's very known. And Mordo, we obviously know from the end credits scene from the first Doctor Strange movie, we were predicting that there's going to be more to come with Mordo. I mean, yes, we did see a version of him in Doctor Strange 2, but I think we're going to see that original version coming out again. Like, it was so heavy-handed delivered to us that there's got to be something. And Baron Mordo is such a significant antagonist in the Doctor Strange comics. Yeah. So, I think there's more in store for Mordo.
And I don't know how he fits into Venom, but I think if they try to cast him in a different role, it's going to be super, super awkward. Yeah. And it's just not what Marvel does.
I agree.
So I'm again, I love what he's done with that role. So I'm like, awesome, go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, he made the character super cool especially the first Doctor Strange movie, but also I liked his role in the second Doctor Strange movie where
he was like
kind of a friend, but then not really, and then he also was kind of the facilitator of the Illuminati. It was very cool.
I kind of liked it better in the second one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So there's definitely more for Baron Mordo. Last item on the list here, Guardians 3 has actually hit a significant benchmark and also broke records. I mean, not really breaking records, but has accomplished something notable here. So going from opening weekend to their second weekend, they recorded only a 49% drop. Which some people think, oh my gosh, that's huge.
It
really isn't. I mean, you look at drops of like high 50s to high 60s a lot of times from opening week to opening weekend, the second weekend. So this is a drop in domestic box office, 49% between those two weekends, which actually marks the best hold. It's what they call that difference. Or any comic book movie since the pandemic began. So pretty significant. So that's not just other Marvel movies, but other things that have been out there. It has also crossed 500 million globally. So another big thing. So good for them. It was, John, I didn't, don't be repetitive for the fans. And you and I chatted a little tiny bit about Guardians 3. But what's your 10 seconds or less impression for me? Because and you and I can talk more about it offline, but
My impression is, and look at this, I'm going to make a connection. I'm not shocked that it was such a low drop. Mm-hmm. I think fans potentially like, and I probably saw it closer to the second weekend. I'd have to look and see when they actually categorize. I mean, mine was week, not weekend, but it's definitely the second week. And mine was accidental due to life. But I think there were probably a lot of folks that were tentative to see it based on a number of factors. And it got a lot of good reviews from the fans who saw it. Yeah. And I had people that reached out to me who know, like, hey, John sees all the Marvel movies. What does he think? And for some of them, I was like, I haven't seen it yet. Right. I mean, for all of them, I said afterwards, hey, I saw it. I actually really, really liked it.
Yeah.
And it's one that I would easily watch again. And so I think people, if they were a little bit speculative to see it, then went out and saw it. And if you haven't seen it, go and see it, is my recommendation to you. So I think it was really good. And I think that I've read and a little bit of crossover, and it's not what you were asking. But folks talking about seeing how James Gunn treated Guardians 3. And I agree with them when they broke it down, and maybe this is a discussion for another day, but how he's going to do Superman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the humanization of some of the characters in Guardians 3, how that can translate to Superman. And it was a really good piece. And I was like, yeah, and I'm not a Superman fan, but I was like, he really could humanize. And I use that in air quotes because he's an alien. Mm-hmm. This character who is essentially invincible. And there are some kind of great connections. So maybe that's a good, you know, kind of discussion point for another day. With it, I will also say, and Tim, you've met her, but our puppy Zoe, who's a mini golden doodle. Zoe loves to, when she wants something, stand up on her hind legs, and she'll prance around with her arms up a little bit. And I've started to call her Rocket when she does that.
Nice.
Because she looks like either a circus monkey or Rocket Raccoon. And I've determined that she is indeed acting like Rocket Raccoon. She's not as smart as Rocket, but she is, you know, kind of brown and looks kind of cute and like innocent. It's like, oh, look at me, give me something. you know, and then inevitably, if you give her something, she just actually wants to bite you because she's a puppy. Yep. But yep. Anyway,
she does a lot of biting.
Yeah. So she is, when she does that, she's my little Rocket.
Nice. Cute.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Fantastic. Well, folks, that is all we have for this episode of Guardians of the MCU. Please do join us in our next episode for more news and discussion on the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Thank you. Bye-bye.